Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. This will probably be the last message we'll preach from 1st, 2nd Peter. Not forever, but for right now. I like 1st and 2nd Peter. I like all the Bible. Second Peter chapter 3. We're going to read the last verse this morning and give you the thought that we have on, but grow in grace. But grow in grace. The Bible says in verse 18, say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come gather here this morning. Thanking you for the beautiful day that you've given us, Lord, that we can worship. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now just to gather our minds in from the things of this world for just a little bit. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get it fixed, centered upon you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, through the Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd give right words this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd just ever have your way in the message. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that's watching by the way of the webcast this morning. I pray that you'd help them. Lord, and I pray for us that are here. Lord, just do something for us when we leave. Lord, that we can leave encouraged in the Lord and drawn closer to you through the preaching and the Word of God and the songs that's been sung. Lord, we love you and thank you again for the opportunity we have to be in your house today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We've preached from 1 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter for several different messages in the past weeks and months. And I want to look at this final thought this morning here in this series of messages on but grow in grace. And Peter gives a lot of practical instructions to the people that he's writing to, and I believe if we take to heart the things that we've read and studied through 1st and 2nd Peter, and not just go on and forget them, but apply them to our life, I believe there's some good instruction that would help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Peter was concerned about the people that he was writing to, those that were scattered abroad in different places, as he penned these passages of Scripture down and was encouraging them in serving God during the times of persecution and things that was going on in their lives. Now, we don't know much about persecution in this day and hour that we're living here in the States, but I believe that we're going to see more of it. We've seen it in times past, and we can read of it in history. And I believe if we'll grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord this morning, that when these things come our way, that we'll be able to stand against the times and against the tides that's against us and the days that lies ahead. We've lived to see things that Peter even wrote about. Here in 2 Peter, and we looked at that thought just a little bit here a while back about how Lot vexed vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked there as he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, as he set his eyes towards Sodom and Gomorrah and he went there. And I wonder if Lot was that person that he really should have been and had lived his life like Abraham had lived his, if things wouldn't have been different with him. I was thinking down in Sunday school class just a while ago while Brother Darrell was teaching, and I just wrote down a simple thought. Could America be a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah as we're looking around? And I believe a lot of our issues and our problems stem from people that have been taught the Word of God, that's been preached the Word of God, and has not adhered to it and have not applied it to their lives. They've not grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe a person that's been saved for any amount of time 5, 10, 15 years, I believe they ought to have grown a little bit in grace. And they ought to have grown a little bit in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when things come their way, then they'll be able to stand against those things. When the fiery darts come that Satan is continually hurling at us, I believe that if we've grown in grace and knowledge, that we'll be able to stand against the times and those darts that he might shoot at us. But I want to look at this thought this morning for just a little bit. The Lord being our helper, and I hope that we'll be attentive to the voice of God and the speaking of the Holy Spirit to us this morning. But grow in grace. But grow in grace. First thought I want to look at is the edict of to grow. The edict to edict to edict to grow. Number one, we see that growth is natural to each and every individual when we came into this world. The Bible tells here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter wrote to the believers, said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And I've said it many times, when a baby comes into this world, it's just natural that they begin to grow. They come into this world when they are conceived, they begin to grow. They grow in the mother's womb. And then when those 9 months are finished and they come into this world, it's just natural that if that baby's healthy and things are going well, that that baby's going to grow naturally into a young person. And now we've watched some of them. We've watched Mason grow from the time that he was brought into this world and how he was on milk. And then he progressed a little bit to meat. And if that baby is healthy, they will progress in their eating habits. And as they begin to grow and they begin to be nourished by the food and the intake that they take in. But we see that growth is natural in the physical realm. And just as growth is natural in the physical realm, I believe that growth should be and is natural in the spiritual realm. I believe that when a person gets saved, that if they get genuinely born again and trust Jesus as their Savior, if the Spirit of God takes up abode in that person, I believe it's just a natural phenomenon of life as they grow spiritually, as they begin to mature in grace, that God will do things in their heart. And I believe it's just natural. I remember when I first got saved and I began to want to know a little bit more about the things of God. And you can probably recall, if you've been saved for any length of time, that it was just natural that after you got saved, that you began to grow, you began to desire to hear preaching, you began to desire for God to move in your life. And I believe that ought to be natural. If it's not, I would be checking up this morning. Hey, you may just have a profession and not a possession of the Holy Spirit in your life, because I believe it's just a natural thing, and growth is just natural in the child of God that's been born again. We see that in the edict of to grow is that growth is natural. How many of you know what edict means? What did I say it meant today? It's a command. So we find that Peter gives a command or an edict to the people that he's writing to grow. And it's a natural thing for a person to begin to grow in their spiritual life. We see not only growth is natural, but growth is needed. How much more in this day and hour that we're living in for people that have been saved, that growth is needed in their life. I've been saved for a number of years. I was on the church roll for a number of years as a young person, as a teenager, and I really had never been saved. I'd made a profession, but I never had been saved, and I never did grow. I never did grow. As I look back and I see that I'd made that profession, that I never did grow. But then when I got saved, I realized that growth was needed. Now, I didn't grow like I should have, and I confess that to you this morning, but I grew. From the time I was 17 and I trusted Christ as my Savior and I got saved, hey, there was some growth that took place in my life, and it was needed.
And it's needed today as much as it was back in the time when I first got saved. I need growth in my life. As I begin to progress in my Christian life, my spiritual life, and I begin to grow, and maybe it was a slow growth at this beginning. Just as sure as a baby comes into this world, a lot of times it seems like that growth is slow. But then all of a sudden, it comes to a point in time and that growth takes off, and we see that it's needed for that child to be able to move and to have the mobility that they stand in need of to do the things that they want to do. And the same thing with the Christian life. Growth is needed. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, as Paul's writing to the Hebrew believers. He said there in verse 11 to 14, he said, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Paul faced the same thing that we face today. I see many people today that are saved. They've made professions of faith. Yet we find that growth is needed in their lives. Yet they're dull of hearing. They're not listening. Verse 12 tells us, said, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now Paul's writing to these Jewish believers that had got saved out of Judaism. And we find that he's got a concern for them about their life. They've been saved for a while, but it seems like they keep falling back into that old judicial system. It was hard for those people to get out from under that law and under the teachings that they had. And no doubt some of these believers kept falling back into that system, and they'd come back forward and they'd have to be retaught again. In essence, we see people like that today. They get saved, they come to church for a while, they endure for a little while, and they fall out, something knocks them out. And then maybe if the Lord moves in their life, hopefully they get back in church. And then they get to that point and they have to be taught again. 5, 10, 15 years, I've seen people, hey, that just didn't grow in their life, and they were on milk even as an adult. A saved person should have been on meat. They were still on milk and had to be retaught. A time that they ought to have been teachers. I've seen that many times where people would just come to church and sporadic in their coming, and they just never did grow. And they'll even make statements like, "Well, I just don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what y'all saying, what you're preaching about." Well, if you'd pay attention, if you'd study and you'd listen and you'd apply things to your life, then you could understand. That could be one reason. The other reason could be that you may not be saved. If you're not understanding, you're not getting a hold of the things that's coming that God is sending your way, I would check up and see where I was in my relationship with God. I'd see, first of all, make sure that I was saved, that I had a place that I could go back where the Holy Ghost had convicted me, where He showed me that I was a hell-deserving sinner, where I took my place as a sinner and received Christ as my Savior. I believe churches are full of lost people. That's not my primary thing, is to try to get you lost. If you're really saved, I'm trying to get you grounded and rooted in the truth of the Word of God and the things of God. But there are people that are in on the church pews that's never been saved, that's made some little old profession or prayed a little prayer somewhere along the line. And they've gone through their life and they've not grown. They're still on. They're still even below the milk stage. They can't even get milk. It's one thing to get milk, but if you can't get nothing, you better check up. Growth's needed. growth that's needed if you're going to make it in the Christian life. Growth's needed if you're going to make it in this day and hour in which we live in. There's all kinds of religions out here, and there's a lot of people that are being duped with the religions of this world because they don't know what truth is. Growth is needed. Growth is natural. Growth is nurtured. Growth is nurtured. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way it'll go, and when it's old it'll not depart from it. Do you know if you start that boy right there, if you start training him while he's little, and you'll train him right, and you'll read the Bible to him, and you'll pray with him, you carry him to church, and you teach him, and you train him how to act, how to behave, how to conduct himself. You teach him about Jesus. I promise you, they can be taught. Training, a lot of time, is effort, though. And that's why we lose so many Christians that make professions. We don't train them. We lack training a lot of times in our churches. That's why people go nonchalantly in their Christian life. They go to church and they think that they're okay just because they went to church, sung a few hymns, listened to a few messages, and went out the door the same way they come in. And 15 years from now, they're in the same boat that they were in when they started. Growth is nurtured. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, training up children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 14, Peter said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The Christian life is a growing life, of which salvation the prophets have required and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought in unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Growth is nurtured this morning. Hey, there's a training process that's going on. Hey, there's an upbringing just as there is in children. As we nurture those children, there's a nurturing that takes place in the individual's heart that has received Christ as their Savior. We see the edict to grow. And then we see number two, we see the elements of growth. We see the elements of growth. It takes a balanced diet. It takes a balanced diet if you're going to grow. You've got to be balanced in the Word of God if you're going to grow spiritually. Just as sure as your physical life, it takes a balanced diet for you to grow and stay what you should be to be healthy and to be able to function like a normal A person that's getting a good balanced diet is able to continue on into their life and to try to meet that point and place of 3 score and 10 years old. It's going to take a balanced diet for you to have a good life. a physical life. And it's going to take a good diet, balanced diet, if you're going to enjoy a good spiritual life. Paul said over there, he told that a bunch, he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Hey, it takes the negative as well as the positive. If you're going to experience growth in your life and you're going to have a balanced diet that's going to bring you to that point and place that God wants you to get to. I believe He wants us all to be mature Christians. I believe He wants us all to be spiritual in our walk with Him and to be mature Christians, to be able to carry on the work that He wants us to do. A balanced diet. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We see not only in a balanced diet, we see there's a desire for growth. I believe that when a person gets saved, that there's a desire to grow. I believe there's a desire to grow. Do you really, as a Christian today, have a desire to grow? Do you want to progress in your Christian life? I remember in 93, we had a revival. You've heard me talk about the revival that we had there at Harmony Street, how God began to work in my heart. I had grown some, but I hadn't grown to the point and place that I needed to be in my Christian life. I began to want to know what I believed. I began to want to know why I believed it. Not just because of the preaching that I've heard and all, but I wanted to know why do I believe that this Bible is the King James Bible. I had never heard so much of preaching on the King James Bible as I did in those, being the Word of God as I did in those 5 weeks of meeting there that broke out at Harmony Street. I began to want to know, why is the King James Bible the only Bible? I never had sat under any preaching other than the King James Bible. I thought it was the only Bible. I remember one time when I was a teenager that someone come to church and they left a Bible on the pew, and this is always, I've always remembered this, and it was a living Bible. The living Bible. And I began to want to know, why do I believe that the King James Bible? If somebody asked me, why, what am I going to tell them that the King James Bible is the very Word of God, not just contains the Word of God, but it is the very Word of God. Hey, that it's perfect. That it's infallible. It's inerrant. There's no mistakes in it. Why do I believe all that? I had a desire to learn. Why do I believe that a person that's saved ought to want to live for God and walk with Him? Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we know that we're eternally saved, that we're secure in Christ Jesus? I begin to want to know all those things. Not just because my daddy preached it, not just because other preachers that I had heard, that I had been under, I had preached, but I wanted to know why I believed it. I sat under some good men of God down through the years, and I've been right where you are. And I didn't know these things. I didn't know these things because I was, like a lot of folks, I was preoccupied with the cares of this world. I never had read my Bible through. I never had read my Bible through. The elements of growth. It's going to take a balanced diet. There's the desire for growth. There's the door for growth, which is the Word of God. I began to listen to preaching. I began to read my Bible. I began to pursue growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. During the years that couple of years thereafter, I began to want to know more about the Word of God. I began to read it, began to study it. I took a Bible college course through Gulf Coast Bible Seminary and Institute. The door for growth was the Word of God. that's the way you're going to grow. People might get critical of you just trying to encourage people to read the Word of God, but I'm going to tell you, studying the Word of God begins somewhere, and it usually begins by reading the Word of God. If you're not reading it, you're not going to want to study it. But I found out when I read the Word of God, I find passages that jump out at me, and I begin to want to know why that was so. I was reading something this morning in the Old Testament there in the book of 1 Kings, and I began to want to know, wonder why that happened like that. Wonder what that meant. There's some interesting things there. You begin to study. And then you begin to see things. The door for growth is the Word of God. Can I say the Word of God is our source of spiritual food? The Word of God is our source of spiritual food? It got to a point, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you what happened with me when I began to grow. It got to a point that I wanted to hear preaching. I listened to preaching all the time. I'd buy cassette tapes, as Brother Sammy would say. And I'd stick them things and I'd listen to them driving down the road. I've got cassettes running out of boxes that we've bought and listened to because I wanted to know more. Men that was preaching the Word of God. I spent probably 5 years studying under Dr. Taub, and I listened to cassette tapes that he sent and his little books and his pamphlets. And as it began to grow, there were some things that I didn't agree with that he taught, but I continued to study. I asked Brother Sammy Allen one time, I said, about Arthur Pink. I said, Brother Sammy, what do you think about Arthur Pink's? He's a staunch Calvinist is what he is. But I said, what do you think about his books? He said, oh, Brother Poole, he said, you just got to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. But the way you know to spit out the bones, you got to study the Word of God. If it don't line up, then you need to spit it out. It's a source of spiritual food. And some, I wouldn't advise some people reading some of Arthur Pink's books because they might get confused. Hey, if you get too deep into Calvinism, you've got it from man, because this Bible don't teach Calvinism. This Bible teaches the sovereignty of God and the foreknowledge of God, but it don't teach Calvinism. It don't teach the 5 points of the tulip doctrine. Miss Elizabeth told me one time, said, for me not to assume that y'all know all this stuff, but, I mean, you know, I just assume sometimes that people do. But there's 5 points of that Calvinism that's involved in that tulip doctrine that John Calvin come up with. And each one of those letters in that word tulip means certain things, like the T stands for total depravity. Now, we know that we're total depraved, really. But we can't agree with none of those 5 points of Calvinism that's taught in that tulip doctrine. That total depravity, what it boils down to, their teaching is total inability. That man is totally unable to come to God and trust God as their Savior. And we do believe in the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe you've got to be convicted to get under sin, but you are able to come to Christ. Jesus wouldn't have said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dr. Taub says almost like he was making fun of us if we couldn't come. But we can come. He'd give us a free will. So we believe in total depravity, but not total inability. And then I won't go through all those other. That U is unconditional election. That L is for limited atonement, which means that God's blood is only for a select few, that He died for only those that are the elect. That I is irresistible grace. And they teach that if you're one of the elect, that you can't resist the Holy Spirit's dealing. How many times have you ever resisted when the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart? Irresistible grace. And that P is perseverance saint. And what that perseverance of saints means is that if you are one of the elect, or if you are really saved, that you're going to persevere to the end. We fail a lot of times. We fail to persevere. We believe in the perseverance of the sacrifice. Hey, that the sacrifice is going to be sufficient, that it's going to persevere to the ends of this world. But sometimes the Bible teaches that there's some people that's going in saved though as by fire. They were saved, yet they barely made it in by the skin of their teeth. I don't know how I got off on that. But it's the source of our spiritual food. It's the door of growth. It's the desire for growth. We grow by a balanced diet. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Paul told the Corinthians over in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2 said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for here the two, you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able." Not unread Hebrews chapter 5 there where Paul's writing to the Hebrew believer. Psalms chapter 19, verse 10 says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O God, Lord God of hosts." Then we see it takes regular exercise. It takes regular exercise. If you're going to grow spiritually, hey, it's going to take regular exercise. I'm going to tell you, you turn into a couch potato and you'll get to where you can't get up and you can't do nothing. It's going to, if you don't use it, you lose it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Physically, if you don't use it, you lose it. I've seen people that sit down. They sat down and it was so much effort, they wouldn't put forth that effort to get up, and they ended up down for the count, physically. The same way spiritually. You can read your Bible sporadically. God can give you things out of this Bible and you don't apply it to your life. If you don't exercise it in your life, then you'll get to the point you'll lose it spiritually. And it won't be long. You'll be cold and indifferent. And your conscience will be defiled. Paul said, Acts 24, verse 16, said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7-8 said, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Did you know you have to exercise yourself to godliness to live a godly life? Paul said, "Bodily exercise profiteth little. Hey, but godliness is profitable in this life and also the life to come." You know, people ought to just be eating this up this morning, but they don't. Godliness. Bodily exercise profits a little, so we all do a little of it. Whether it's walking the treadmill, whether it's walking on the road, or whether it's... And I'm going to tell you, it's effort. I used to ride the bicycle. I got to where I'd ride it 3-4 times a week. This was several years ago. And it got to where it was hard. I'd go out and I'd ride the bicycle, and then I'd go out there work, and I'd give out. Well, I gave up. I quit riding it. I'd got to where I could ride. I was probably 57. Probably 57 or so. And I could ride 11, 12 miles an hour up and down our little old road, around in the little old subdivision up there. You got to pedal pretty hard to ride 11, 12 miles in an hour. And then when I didn't ride bicycle, I'd walk. Well, I got lazy and I quit. But I mean, I still walked some, but I didn't walk like I did. And I can tell it. I can tell it. You got to do regular exercise. You got to have the right kind of diet. You've got to have the right source of spiritual food if you're going to grow in grace and knowledge. All these combined. Your physical life, your balanced diet, the sources of food that you eat, and your exercise is going to determine your physical ability. Hey, me and Chris were talking a while ago, I love to turkey hunt. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't easy. Everybody thinks it's just easy, but it ain't easy. The physical is more so than the actual ability to work a turkey. If you work a turkey on any given day, if that turkey is ready, you can kill him. But you got to get to him. The physical. And I went 3 days this week hunting. Now, I had to discipline myself if I'm going to do that. And some mornings, mind you, I didn't want to get up and go, but I wanted to go so bad that I forced myself and I got up. I got up at 15 to 4. I got up and got ready, and we left by 15 after 4, and we drove for an hour and a half on the other side of the mountain on the Blue Ridge WMA to hunt for 2 or 3 hours. And then we come back home. Some people won't do that. But did you know it takes just as much effort to discipline yourself to get up and read your Bible, to have a time of prayer, and exercise your spiritual man to the point where you can be what God wants you to be? It takes effort. I promise you, it takes effort to get up and read your Bible. It takes effort to read your Bible through in a year. Because I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll get up at 15 to 4 to go turkey hunting. If you're not careful, you'll get behind 5 or 6 chapters pretty quick. And then you got to catch up. You got to catch up. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So we see. It takes regular exercise. It takes balanced diet. It takes the right source of spiritual food. Let me say again, the physical man. You put the wrong intake, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. If you don't have a balanced diet, if you eat everything that's fat, guess what? It's going to turn to fat. You got to eat the right source of food. Same way spiritually, you got to intake the right source of food. You get to listen to these charismatics and you get to listen to these Methodists and some of these and some of the stuff that they're teaching, you'll get unbalanced in your diet. And you won't grow right spiritually. You'll end up, you'll be an anemic Christian if you're not careful. You won't have the right source of food. So then we see, thirdly, the evidence of growth. I believe there'll be some evidence. I've watched Mason, I've seen some evidence that he's growing up. He can run, he's coordinated. Hey, that boy can kick a ball. He's just what? What is he, 3, 4? 3. And he's about as coordinated. Drive that little car around here. I mean, he can wheel that thing around. You know why? Because there's evidence of growth. Somebody has taught him some things. And then, mind you, there's that natural ability that he has that he is coordinated. I've seen grown kids that are big that's not as coordinated as he is. He'd run down. He hardly ever falls. He falls, though. You might fall every once in a while. You may be coordinated as far as your spiritual man, but you can still fall if you don't exercise regularly. if you don't stay in this book, there'll be some evidence of growth. Number one, there'll be some discernment. You know how you can tell somebody if they're spiritual or not? The kind of discernment they got. I've seen a lot of people didn't have a bit of discernment. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling the truth. I've seen a lot of people that's been saved for years and they ain't got no discernment. They'll open their mouth when they shouldn't open it. They won't open it when they should open it. We miss opportunities that God puts in, divine encounters that He puts in our lap, and we don't get it sometimes. I believe He gives us divine encounters that we can witness to people. But we've got to have discernment to know when that time comes. Hey, we need to witness to people. We need to talk to them about their soul, where they're going to spend eternity. We need to have the right kind of discernment. That's just one area. We need to have discernment about how to act in the house of God. Did you know if you don't have the right kind of discernment that you could hinder someone from responding to the call of God? We come in the house of God, it's time to worship. It's time to pay attention for an hour. You know, 11 till 12, we've been getting out at 12 o'clock. Believe that or not, we get out at 12 o'clock. Discernment, I'm talking. We need discernment how to act in the house of God, how to listen in the house of God, how to respond to the voice of God. Discernment. Ephesians 4 verse 14 said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Did you know there's people out here that's waiting to deceive you? There's people that don't like the way we believe around here. And they'll try to change you. They want to peddle their false doctrines. You need to have discernment. Be nice, but have discernment. Don't fall into their traps. The evidence of growth, to be discernment. Hey, there'll be perseverance. I believe there'll be some perseverance in our life. I don't believe that in that tulip doctrine, but I do believe a child of God will persevere. If you're regularly exercising, you're eating the right source of food, you got the right balanced diet, I believe that there'll be some perseverance in your Christian life. It means little to know the difference between truth and error if one is unable to stand for the truth regardless of what it comes. James 1, verse 2 and 4 through 4 said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I remember one time, and I've got patience. I really believe I've got patience. I couldn't work on cars some days if I didn't have patience. Now, I have thrown a wrench or two for. But it's been few and far between. Morris Reynolds was up at the house, and I had an old Volkswagen, and I'd lay out there till at night, cold, and working on that thing to keep it running where I'd drive it back and forth to Athens. I'd chop that thing down, had the engine sticking out, and I'd work, and I'd pull that engine out and fix things, and I was out there fooling with it one day. I forget what I was doing. Morris Reynolds was up there, and he said, "You got a lot of patience." He said, "I ain't got patience to work on one of them things." And I didn't know I did either. I just didn't know what I was doing, I guess, and I was just trying to accomplish something. You know, I just kept on. But it's because of that patience, I think, that I ended up that I was able to work on cars and do things. Tribulation worketh patience. Hey, people will try your patience sometimes. their spiritual temperament will try a pastor's patience sometimes. You got to be long-suffering. Perseverance. Tribulation works faith, but let patience have her perfect work. Hey, if God is sending something your way and it's requiring patience, hey, just let Him do what He's trying to accomplish and be patient. Someone said perseverance is not a trait that emerges fully developed in the new Christian, and that's okay. That is to be expected. Toddlers are unsteady on their feet. They fall easily and frequently, and it's all part of learning to walk. It takes patience from people. Someone that gets saved, they're not going to be as spiritual as someone that's been saved for 2 years or 5 years. Sometimes people's pulled up out of a pretty horrible pit. I don't know if I can remember someone that we went to church with one time. Something was said, well, you ought to seen where they come from. You know, you think they're not spiritual, too spiritual as they should be. Hey, look where they come from, what they used to be. The evidence of growth, discernment, perseverance, and then humility. The third mark of maturity is humility, which includes the desire to continue striving to mature. Not thinking that you've arrived. Hey, none of us are there. If you think you're there, you're not there. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15, said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Are you reaching forth this morning? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, spiritually mature, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now let's think about the evidence of growth. There's our discernment, the perseverance, the humility. And I thought about this, a reaction. How do you react to things? I believe a person that's spiritually mature or is maturing, that if they have the right kind of discernment, they'll react rightly. You don't have to react to everything. Men, you don't have to react to everything that your wife says to you. You're better off if you've been in this thing a long time. You'll learn when to react and when not to react. Hey, there's something about I know how I am sometimes. A sure sign of immaturity is the belief that I've attained maturity. Maturing as a believer means becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, hey, we go to comparing ourselves one with another, we might look pretty good. You go sidling up to Jesus and comparing yourself to Him, you'll see what we really are. James 3, verse 13 said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Then I believe, lastly, the evidence of growth. There'll be a willingness and readiness to build up other believers. We won't do what we can to help someone else. I like that Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. There is the forbearing also with one another. We just have to put up one another sometimes. Our little quirks and our things that maybe are different. I wonder this morning, are you growing in grace? Is God working in your life? Is He accomplishing what He desires to do? Hey, do you have a desire to build up other believers instead of knock them down? You know, I think a evidence of spiritual maturity is a person will be faithful. Just my thinking. I have had, when I pastored up at Zion Hill, I told them, I got ashamed of preaching on faithfulness sometimes. I mean, it's just all the time I was preaching on faithfulness. Come on, Rebecca. I run families off preaching on faithfulness because all they want to do is come on Sunday morning. They didn't want to come on Sunday night. They didn't want to come on Wednesday night. They didn't have to leave. If I was wrong, they didn't have to leave. I know a family that left. They went over to another church, and I loved them. They went over to another church, and then they left that church. And they went over the pastor that was there. They went to him, and they got him to start another church over there on the other side of town. Well, it wasn't long he left there. But you know what they had? They had Sunday morning services. That was all they had. And then they finally closed the door there, and they're somewhere else. I preach against sin. And I used to preach against sin harder, and I've been pretty mild here at Open Door for 4.5 years. I beat around the bush about a lot of things. Because I know how people are. And they ain't used to it, Brother Chris. I try to be patient. But there comes a time in your life when you're going to have to mature, make up your mind. If you have a desire to mature, you're going to have to make up your mind. Am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to live for Him? Am I going to conduct myself like a Christian? Am I going to be faithful to the church? Am I going to be faithful to the things of God?